Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Is it he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing, scarcely as they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root on the earth, and when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name. Because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Who do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own free will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with the gospel, with the commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in his blessings. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus and his disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. As Simon and his companions hunted for him, when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When my youngest son, Max, was just 2, one of our favorite things to do on a Saturday morning was to go for a walk to the duck pond. We would take our old bread and tear it up into pieces, put it in a plastic bag. Max would climb into his stroller, and I would push him to the pond. He'd get out of the stroller, take a big handful of bread, toddle up to the very edge of the water and throw it as hard as he could. The ducks seemed to appear from out of nowhere. They would swarm to eat the bread. It was one of my favorite things to do with him. One morning, one beautiful spring morning, the sun was shining bright, and I felt grateful to be feeding the ducks with Max. He put the bread in his hand and was toddling out to the water when he saw a Coke can on the ground. "Trash," he said. "Right, Max," I said. "I've got to pick it up, don't I?" So I picked it up, and I had a plastic bag with me. I stuck it in the plastic bag. We finished feeding the ducks, and he got back in the stroller, and we started to stroll around the pond. There was a beer can. "Trash," he said. "Okay, I picked that one up." "Cigarette box, trash," he said. "Plastic wrapper, trash," he said. "Glass bottle, trash," he said. Uh-oh. The bag was overflowing. I had taught him not to litter and that it was good to pick it up, but it was getting out of hand. My hands were beginning to smell. So I started putting trash underneath the stroller. And we kept running into more and more litter. I got in a bad mood. What used to look beautiful to me now seemed like some kind of a trash dump. I couldn't believe how many people had left their litter all around. Finally, we got to the place where I couldn't carry anything more. By the time we get home, I'm mad. We both have to take a bath, and Max and I have to bleach the stroller. It's hard to do good in the world. When we try to help those in need, one of the first things that happens is we wake up to the overwhelming needs of the whole world. I mean, you write a check for, let's say, the Special Olympics. You put it in the mail, and all of a sudden you're getting emails and phone calls and snail mail. When I first moved here, I gave blood. I'm O positive, the universal donor. Within 4 weeks, I had 5 or 6 messages on my answering machine. They needed more blood. I turned to my husband and said, "Am I allowed to give yet? At this rate, they're going to drain me dry." It's hard to do God's ministry in the world without getting resentful and overwhelmed. It seems like we can never give enough. In today's gospel, Jesus goes to the home of Peter's mother-in-law because she has a fever. Jesus heals her of her fever, and she gets up and starts serving them food. Well, this news passes through the village pretty quickly, as you can imagine. By the time the sun is setting, the entire village is outside of the front door of the house. "I've got abdominal pain. I've been throwing up. My child can't walk." They brought to Jesus everyone who was sick, suffering from mental distress or any kind of illness. Like the ducks at the duck pond, they swarmed to him. And he cured them, he healed their sicknesses, and then he went to sleep, most likely exhausted. In the wee hours of the morning, before the sun rose, Jesus woke up. And he went out alone to pray. And in praying, Jesus remembers why he has come. He gets aligned with God's core purpose for his life. And he realizes what he has to do. The disciples have to go searching for him when the sun rises, and when they finally find him, they say, "Jesus, Master, everybody is looking for you. Come on back. You won't believe the crowd that has already gathered." But Jesus says no. Jesus does not go back. He doesn't heal the people who came that morning, the sick and the suffering, children. He doesn't fix all their problems. Instead, he leaves and moves on to the next village. Why? Because Jesus knew exactly why God called him. He knew that his primary purpose was to preach the gospel, to teach people about God, and that he was supposed to speak to as many people as he could. Now think with me, if he had gone back, if he had cured more and more people in that village, he would have been doing good. But he would not have been doing what God's will was for his life. If he had tried to fix every problem in that village, he might have never left. He might have never died on the cross, and we would not know him. He had to say no in order to say yes to God's plan for his life. You know, in Hebrew, the word for sin means very simply to miss the mark. It doesn't have to be to do a horrible thing, but just to miss what God has asked you to do. You could say that Jesus hit the mark. He did exactly what God wanted him to do, no more and no less. He said no to many things, but he said yes to the focus of what God wanted him to do. You can go about your life reacting to all of the needs of the world, doing good things, but your life will not have a profound impact until you find out what God wants you to do. And if you're feeling overwhelmed or burnt out, pray. Ask yourself, why did you make me, God? What can I do alone to please you? Frederick Buechner says that our vocation, the job that God has given us, is where our greatest joy meets the world's deep hunger. Where our greatest joy meets the world's deep hunger. What is it that makes your heart sing? You will have to say no to much, but with intention and prayer, say yes to what you believe may be God's will for your life. I remember in Kansas, we had this wonderful old English tea. We would serve tea to the whole city. Everyone loved it. It was like 80 years of tradition. And we would make $10,000. And this wonderful group of women who ran the tea every year would get together every year, and they would talk about every single charity in the city and how we needed to give to this and that and this and that. It ended up that we gave like $50 to every charity. And we did very little good. How do you determine what God's focus is for your life? Well, there's a very interesting phenomenon that I've noticed. When you hit the mark, when you do God's will or come close to it, there is something that I like to call the ripple effect. It is as if little Max, instead of throwing bread, threw a stone into the water. And when it hits the water, it makes ripples that echo out and out, affecting more people than you can imagine. Everything that we do has some kind of a ripple effect. But when you do God's will, well, then the Holy Spirit gets involved. And your impact becomes much more far-reaching than you could have imagined. Let me give you an example. Two and a half years ago, almost 3 years ago now, I began to feel that God was calling me to something more than my church in Kansas. I didn't like that. I loved the people I was serving. I did not want to leave. But I felt that there was more people I was supposed to talk to God about. And when I got called to be ordained and come to the place where I preached my very first sermon, I couldn't believe it. But all the time, it was always me praying to God about my vocation and my life and my job. But it wasn't about me. When we first came here to Jacksonville, we rented a little house. On the first day that we moved in, a woman in her 70s came over with her 5-year-old grandson. She came into my kitchen with tears in her eyes. She explained that her daughter, the little boy's mother, had an aggressive form of cancer, which she had been battling for years. She was unable to have any more children, and the little boy spent most of his time with his grandma. When she heard that the house next door was coming for rent, she said, "I got down on my knees and I prayed, 'Lord, please send a 5-year-old boy to move in next door. My grandson needs a friend. And who should move in but Max, who was 5. And I thought I was being called to Jacksonville. But really, it was Max. He and that little boy have become best friends, probably for life. I want you to serve God, but I want to help you find your focus. Each of you has been uniquely, powerfully gifted by God to serve in a particular way. Each of you must pray and ask God, 'What is that that I must do?' Pray and worship. Find a small group of people who can give you support and feedback in your church. And try to find your mark. I believe that God is pleased even when we try." This past week, a wise woman said something to me that I had never thought of before. She said that when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." But why did he say that? There were still hungry people in the world. There were still children who were sick. There were still people who didn't know about God. But Jesus knew exactly what his job was. And he knew that his job was finished. The pebble was just hitting the water. And the Holy Spirit, through the resurrection, would ripple out his life to affect millions and millions of people. Please pray to find your focus. The results may be more than we can possibly imagine. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We offer ourselves with all our hopes and fears and dreams and sorrows to Jesus, who has come and is here and will come again. In this season of Epiphany, we remember the wise ones journey by the brightest star's light brought them to the light of the world. Let us pray together, saying, Christ be our light. For the people of God throughout the world and for all of us gathered together here, that we will learn how God wants us to live, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For our president, for the leaders of every nation, and for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For children and grown-ups everywhere, for our families, friends, and neighbors, for all who we love, those who live, and those who have died, we give thanks for the life of Del Stolliger and Mary McLemore. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For all who are sick, sad, hungry, afraid, alone, or in any kind of trouble, that they will be helped and comforted, let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For what is in our hearts today, we ask you to hear us, God. For all that we have and all that we share, we thank you, God.
Father in heaven, help us to understand that it is not our job to save the world, but yours. Help us to find our purpose, your will for our lives. This we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. We're so glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting, we have a little card in your pew that you can fill out, and guess what? We'll send you another email. We also have some welcome bags in the back of the church and people who can give you tours. We're so glad you're here. Following this service, we have a wonderful lunch. For all of $1, you can have pizza and salad and drink, and we are going to have what is called the annual parish meeting. It happens in about an hour. We elect our leadership, and we talk about some of the wonderful things that are happening here at your cathedral. I hope you'll join us. And my favorite part is towards the end when we have a slideshow of some of the wonderful ministries, and you see people's faces. So come and join us in Tolliver Hall. After this service, we've had some calls about people wanting to vote by proxy, but you actually have to be present, according to the bylaws, to vote. So do come. If part of your focus is to feed the homeless, tomorrow we will be working at Solzbacher Shelter. The details about that are in your bulletin. And if you love music, this coming Friday night, the Countertop Ensemble, who are an eight-voice a cappella group from Washington, D.C., are on tour through the country, and they're going to stop by. It is a free concert that is at 8 o'clock on Friday night, open to the public. We'd love to see you there. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." The Lord be with you.
And
also with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your Church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Please join me in sending forth our lay Eucharistic minister, who will bring communion to those who are homebound. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bringing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, the honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. God be your comfort and strength. God be your hope and support. God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, remain with you now and forever. Amen.